I said I'd deal with three legislative items that are coming up, and here they are. On the subject of human infertility, I'm sure that all here have great sympathy for married couples who experience that. Estimated now at about 1 in 6 or 1 in 5 couples. We all realise how much that is caused by economic pressure, the price of renting a house or apartment, or starting a mortgage, that has recently been reckoned to be cheaper than renting. It is part of a vicious circle. With the advent of modern birth prevention, women in particular were sold the idea that they could delay starting a family. First wave feminism urged them to work outside the home in order to be financially free of their husbands. It has all gone badly wrong. It is reckoned that today, even with two incomes, many couples will never be able to afford their own house. They are suffering the worst of both worlds, a strange coalescence of anarcho-capitalism, as it has been called, and cultural Marxism. Let us remember the words of Pope John Paul II in the encyclical Centesimus Annus 1991, paragraph 8. A workman's wages should be sufficient to enable him to support himself, his wife, and his children. I'm sure some of you here will have heard that even a married couple of two medical consultants can't, in today's world, get the money together for a down payment for a mortgage. I have heard it. The Oireachtas Joint Committee on Health have completed their pre-legislative scrutiny of the general scheme of the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill 2017 and have issued a report on that matter. We, ADFAM, have made a summary of that report and sent it to all in our email contacts. Minister for Health Simon Harris promised originally to have that general scheme converted into a bill and to initiate that in Dáil Éireann in the second quarter of 2019. It is to be noted that the report tones down quite considerably, but doesn't withdraw, the general scheme's original intention to allow destructive research on supernumerary human embryos until the 14th day after fertilisation. It doesn't go into detail about what exactly the government intends to do regarding the funding at taxpayers' expense of an IVF / AHR. AHR stands for Assisted Human Reproduction. So-called service. It is to be noted that the guest speakers invited by the Joint Committee to address them during the pre-legislative scrutiny disagreed on important points among themselves, notably with regard to payment for surrogacy and the right of persons conceived through IVF / AHR to know who their biological or genetic mothers and fathers are. I am grateful to Dr. Caroline Gandon, MD of NAPRO Technology, for the following reference. Laura Rienzi et al. Report that it is estimated that in Europe in 2011, due to cryopreservation, that is freezing of human embryos, human eggs and embryos, the overall live birth rate for Europe through assisted reproductive technology was 24%. That means that at least a 76% loss of human embryos. For the sake of transparency, it should be said that that meta-analysis was funded by the World Health Organization, and the authors admit frequently that the evidence adduced is either of poor or moderate quality. Estimates of the live birth rate can vary a fair bit. The ESHRE, European Society of Human Reproduction and Embryology, backers of IVF, reporting annually on IVF clinics across Europe that provide pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, PGD, to screen for genetically impaired embryos, concludes that in 2009, out of 45,282 ova fertilised, only 1,417, or 3%, survived to produce a fetal heartbeat and only 1,080, 2%, were born alive. Think about it. Not all human embryos conceived in that way are transferred to the wombs of women. That gives you an idea of the scale of the wastage of human embryos. In her documentary, Fertility Shock, RT1 TV, Monday, March 11, 2019, Irish business journalist Dervil MacDonald admitted that she had had some of her eggs frozen when she was younger in order to be in a position to have them fertilised in vitro in her 30s. At the age of 37, she discovered that only 5% of them were suitable to be fertilised. Great claims are made regarding the cryopreservation of oocytes, that is, ova, and human embryos, but the story often ends in grief for those who are persuaded to take those routes. Even IVF practitioners in that documentary advised women to have children the natural way in their 20s. That level of wastage of human embryos is foreseen. According to Mr. Adrian Hardiman, when still a junior counsel, later senior counsel in 1989 to 2000, and a justice of the Supreme Court, 2000 to 2016, Lord rest us all, what is foreseen in that way is deliberate. Indeed, he expressed that opinion at a meeting of the anti-amendment campaign in Carrickhall, Orwell Road, Rathgar, Dublin 6, in the run-up to the 1983 referendum that resulted in the acceptance of the original Article 40.3.3. According to Professor Fergal Malone, Master of the Rotunda, speaking at a meeting of the Oireachtas Joint Committee on the Eighth Amendment, October the 11th, 2017, between 30% and 40% of all human conceptuses are lost naturally through miscarriage. That range of loss mentioned by Professor Malone, however arrived at, is clearly much less than the percentages quoted in the references above for IVF / AHR. Such deliberate wastage of human embryos does not even fall within what is being permitted by the Health Regulation of Termination of Pregnancy Act 2018, which was signed into law on December the 20th, 2018, by President Michael D. Higgins, and commenced on January the 1st, 2019. Republic of Ireland law, in fact, acknowledges that the human fetus is a human person. That is from the Criminal Justice Forensic Evidence and DNA Database System Act 2014, Interpretation 2.1, under the word body. That Act of 2014 also endorses the use of DNA testing. DNA testing has been in use in the state since 1994 and is an essential tool in criminal cases and in paternity cases. That means that Republic of Ireland law in fact acknowledges that the human person, that the human being is a human person, starting from fertilisation. As you know, a human person is the subject of human rights. And in the Roach versus Roach and others judgment in the Supreme Court, December 15, 2009, the so-called three embryos case, Mr. Justice Hardiman advised the government to acknowledge the rights of human embryos conceived through IVF, assisted human reproduction. ADFAM's chairman, Richard Green, right here, was present in Limerick City on March the 7th, 2018, when the Supreme Court gave their judgment there on the government's appeal, against the ruling of Mr. Justice Richard Humphreys in the High Court of July the 29th, 2016, on the immigration case, that is M, Immigration, Rights of the Unborn versus Minister for Justice and Equality and others. It is noticeable in their judgment of March the 7th, 2018, that the Supreme Court didn't take into account at all the Criminal Justice Forensic Evidence and DNA Database System Act 2014. Regarding the human fetus as being a human person, or the endorsement in that act of DNA testing, or the full implication of that. The 2014 Act, in fact, was brought to the attention of the Council for the Unborn in that case, but they didn't adduce it in counter-argument. Couples suffering from infertility or from subfertility can be helped in ways that don't involve the foreseen destruction of any human embryos. Up to 80% of couples with recurrent miscarriage can expect a successful outcome with NAPRO treatment. There's a leaflet. Information leaflet from Fertility Care and NAPRO Technology. For those who cherish Christian marriage, fertility care does not involve third-party intervention in marriage, and in that way does not involve adultery. NAPRO technology and similar methods cost a fraction of what IVF / AHR cost, and are not exploitative of the couples involved. The Oireachtas Joint Committee on Health, during their pre-legislative scrutiny of the general scheme of the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill 2017, did not have practitioners of NAPRO technology or similar methods in to speak to them. Couples experiencing difficulty having children would have been saved a lot of grief if NAPRO technology were better known and supported by government with no strings attached. It is proposed in the general scheme of the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill 2017, in Part 7, Embryo and Stem Cell Research, pages 143 to 152, to allow destructive research on supernumerary human embryos until the 14th day after fertilisation. Supernumerary in that context means surplus to immediate requirement. The Health Regulation of Termination of Pregnancy Act 2018 permits the ending of the life of the human embryo / fetus only after implantation, and then only in certain circumstances. The vast wastage of human embryos, as happens regularly in IVF / AHR, actually finds no endorsement under that Abortion Act. As you may have gathered, fetus in the Abortion Act Section 2 definitions is defined as an embryo or fetus after implantation. In the same section, termination of pregnancy is defined as follows. Termination of pregnancy in relation to a pregnant woman means a medical procedure which is intended to end the life of a fetus. And medical procedure is defined thus. Medical procedure includes the prescribing by a medical practitioner of any drug or medical treatment. It is difficult to see how IVF / AHR methods fall within the current definition of termination of pregnancy. Head 49, pages 123 to 124 of the general scheme, is very disrespectful of those poor unfortunates who act as donors in the context of IVF / AHR. It completely ignores the advice of a majority of the Supreme Court in 2014, 7th of November 2014, in their judgment on the government appeal against the ruling of Mr. Justice Henry Abbott in the High Court on the surrogate mother case, 5th of March 2013. Though the Supreme Court rejected the Abbott ruling that the genetic / biological mother be recognised in law as the legal mother, a majority of the Supreme Court nevertheless advised that the genetic / biological mother be recognised in law as a legal mother. The general scheme makes in effect a reproductive slave of the poor unfortunate surrogate mother. That is inhuman. It allows for justified expenses for the surrogate mother, but bans so-called commercial surrogacy, a distinction that is without reality. That's Head 4, page 102. In the general scheme, the donors have to give up their rights as natural parents when they finally agree to a parental order. We in ADFAM argue that it is always right to oppose inhuman practices, and we object strongly to their being funded by the taxpayer. Minister Simon Harris, at a time of unprecedented cash crisis in the HSE, intends to make IVF and the like available to people at the taxpayer's expense without regard to income. The following is about the sexual health and relationships education, a subject which a lot of you are agitated about. ADFAM made a submission to the Committee on Education and Skills on its review of sexual health and relationships education including contraception, consent, and related matters. In the report of the Joint Committee on the 8th Amendment of the Constitution, there was support for free access to contraceptives and abortifacients as a way to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies. The Netherlands was held up as an example to the Republic of Ireland of how to approach the problem. This approach involves downright deception. See the transcripts of the meeting of the Joint Committee of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution, November 23, 2017. The Netherlands actually don't count abortions in the first several weeks of pregnancy. The pro-liberalisation speakers at the Adoptus Joint Committee admitted, as have prominent pro-abortion advocates for decades, that contraceptives and abortifacients have a significant failure rate, and later medical abortion or surgical abortion are necessary in order to deal with these failures. Economics professor David Patton of Nottingham University, England, for years has been disputing the claim that wider access to contraceptives and abortifacients is the answer. For a good summary of his ideas and of those who agree with him, see the online version in the Washington Post of March the 14th, 2017. In the ancillary recommendations in the report of the Joint Committee on the 8th Amendment of the Constitution, it was argued that sex education should be made even more compulsory than it is at present. That would ignore totally the rights of the family as the primary educator of their children, the rights of schools to follow their own ethos, and would ignore freedom of religion, Article 42 and Articles 44.2.4, 44.2.5 of the Constitution of Ireland. The Joint Committee's approach is one that wouldn't be out of place in Soviet Russia. There is a determinist view, a very pessimistic view of human nature, that human behaviour is totally predictable. Human nature undoubtedly has serious flaws, but it isn't totally predictable. There actually has been a reduction in sexual activity among high school students in the US, 2005 to 2015, and a reduction in pregnancy among high school girls also. The government of the Republic are just ignoring all contrary evidence and have intended to apply the above-mentioned part of the ancillary recommendations following a yes vote to a repeal of the Eighth Amendment. Breathtaking cynicism is at work here. Amoral pharmacists and wannabe abortionists will be laughing all the way to the bank if the government proceed with this policy. The topics to be covered in the review seem to indicate a worldview that is largely de-Christianised. But as an Adoptus Joint Committee, it must have regard to the Constitution of Ireland and its preamble. Unless and until that preamble is rejected by the citizens of the Republic, bodies such as the Adoptus Joint Committees can't act as if it no longer applied. It is becoming painfully obvious that too much is being read into such recent events as the passing of the marriage equality referendum of 2015. That referendum refers only to the definition of marriage, a definition that has produced at least one bizarre result so far, to the benefit of two old men who are trying to avoid inheritance tax. I kid you not. The amendment doesn't express or imply support for far-reaching changes in other areas of life. The Constitution is for all citizens, and not just the few, for the few. The yes vote in the referendum, in the so-called marriage referendum, represented 37% of registered voters. More voted no in that referendum than voted for Fine Gael in 2011. Our referendum system doesn't require that a successful proposal be supported by a clear majority of registered voters, but rather by a majority of voters voting on the day. Our referendum system is actually oligarchic rather than democratic, in the strict sense. A CADFAM's submission on this matter on the website of the Citizens' Assembly, manner in which referenda are held, citizensassembly.ie, meeting of the weekend, 13 and 14 January 2018. It is important to respect the old principle of audi alteram partem, or hear the other side. The other side on the issues of homosexuality and gender theory in relation to teenagers is that these feelings of same-sex attraction and transgender, for the most part, do not survive teenage. They should have called before them, as expert witnesses in that regard, the US psychiatrist Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons, an acknowledged expert on anger management and various sexual issues, and also Dr. Gerard van den Aardweg, the Dutch psychologist. A boss of mine, Lord rest him, often recorded years ago to the cynical maxim, "Don't confuse me with the facts, my mind is made up." ADFAM urges the Oireachtas Committee on Education and Skills, in advising on sexual health and relationships education, to reject the deterministic and pessimistic view of human nature, that human nature is totally predictable. We urge them to respect the human rights of children and teenagers, the rights of the family as the primary educator of children, the rights of schools to follow their own ethos, and we urge them also to respect religious freedom. All those rights mentioned are constitutional rights. The government intend to have a referendum sometime in this autumn to redefine the family. We've been promised that the government intends to hold a referendum to that effect. I have been unable to find a copy of such a bill in bills and acts on the Oireachtas website, www.oireachtas.ie. The pretext for such a referendum is that the current constitutional arrangement makes it difficult to grant to unions other than the family based on marriage rights in regard to the adoption, guardianship, custody or access to any child. The current constitutional provision is as follows, Article 40.1.3.1. The state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage on which the family is founded and to protect it against attack. Though same-sex pairs and civil partnerships are permitted under the Children and Family Relationships Act 2015, to adopt, foster and act as guardians to children, not their own, it would appear to be the position of the government, according to what some ministers have said, that though a marriage may be contracted, that is according to Article 41.4 and the 34th Amendment of the Constitution, Marriage Equality Act 2015, by a same-sex pair. Recently, there has been a number of cases of lesbian couples married according to the law of the Republic who could not be assured that both could act as parent for a child in their custody, or at least one of the pair had no blood relation to the child. That was reported by Samantha Librari, raised by both same-sex parents, Fight for Legal Recognition, RT1 TV, updated Monday, August 5th, 2019. They were being held up, so it was claimed, by the fact that the draftspersons haven't yet worked out the precise details of the parental order that is to be issued when the genetic or biological parents of a child conceived through IVF / AHR and gestated through surrogacy sign a parental order handing over completely their natural rights as parents. It may be that it isn't possible constitutionally for genetic / biological parents who are a married couple to hand over their rights as parents completely. Article 41.1.1 says that the family based on marriage has inalienable and imprescriptible rights antecedent and superior to all positive law. Not only does the family based on marriage at present have inalienable and imprescriptible rights, but so do children, even according to the very controversial children referendum of 2012, the result of which was finally declared to be constitutional in 2015. Here is the article that was added to the constitution as a result of that referendum. Children. Article 42A. 1. The state recognises, this is just sub 1, of that article. The state recognises and affirms the natural and imprescriptible rights of all children and shall, as far as practicable by its laws, protect and vindicate those rights. Sometimes it seems that in their attempts to refashion nature in their own image, the culture of Death Brigade managed to tie themselves up in knots. Let us hope and pray that they stay in that condition until they get some sense. The US sociologist Father Donald Paul Sullins of the Catholic University of America, some of you may have seen him on EWTN last night, in an article published in 2015, challenges the previously dominant claim that being raised by a same-sex pair doesn't do adolescents any harm. Father Sullins reports under results, above-average child depressive symptoms and emotional problems for such adolescents, a 38% rate of sexual abuse by the same-sex pair. And the longer the child is in the custody of such a pair, the greater the harm. Though Father Sullins admits to the tentative nature of some of those results, there is a significant correlation between the sex abuse claim and information supplied to me in March 2014 by the Dutch psychologist, Dr. Gerard van den Aardweg, that 40% of homosexuals are attracted to adolescents and that 10% of them are attracted to children. History will look very severely on this generation if we do nothing to prevent such situations continuing. Thank you.